I think after reading your book, seeing a snowman freaked me right out. I mean, it really became, you turned such a mundane thing into such a creepy image.
Yeah, well,
Why have you done this to me?
yeah, I'm sorry. Both thank you and I'm sorry. Because I think that that is something that is very efficient. If you take something that you feel cannot be dangerous and something that feels very, you know, cozy and innocent, and you just project it in another way, or you it's like in a movie, you know, if the camera stays on a cute doll 2 seconds too long, you know there's something wrong about doll, and it suddenly goes from being something very innocent to something very scary. And it's sort of the same thing with the snowman. The key scene for the snowman, the scene that sort of started the story, was an idea of a woman coming home from work late in the evening, and the first snow has fallen in Oslo, and she walks into the kitchen, and there's her son and her husband making dinner for her, and she says, how nice you're making dinner, and also what a great snowman you built in the garden. And they look at her and they say, we didn't build a snowman. And so all three of them walk into the living room, and they look out the window at this big snowman that's standing in the moonlight in the garden. And the father says that, okay, it's probably some of the boys next door have come into our garden to build a snowman. And then the boy says what they're all three thinking. He says that, why isn't the snowman looking toward the road and the open space? Why is it standing so close to the house, and why is it looking towards the house and into our window and at us? And that was sort of the idea, the first idea I got, and I didn't know at that time how it connected to the rest of the story. I just knew that that scene had to be in the novel.
Just recounting it, the hairs on the back of my neck have stood up. A very, very creepy image and very creepy calling card for a killer that took me a long time to catch up with. I mean, very, very clever plot, but when I went back, I went, "Oh, that's oh, why didn't I see that?" Well done that way.
Well, that's what you hope for when you're planning the plot. It's a, and it's what I like about this genre, the detective novel. It's a, or mystery novel that you call it here. It's a, it's that it's a way of telling a story where that the reader is very familiar with. So already on page one, it's like you're having this dialogue with a reader. Because they have seen on the cover that, okay, this is a crime story. We pretty much know what that's all about. And you can, as a writer, you can play with those expectations that the reader have, making it easier, you know, to sort of, okay, the game here is that you are going to try to guess who the killer is, and I'm going to give you some clues, and I'm going to give you enough so that when I reveal to you who the killer is, you are going to go, "Of course, you told me that on page 39, but I was too busy looking at your left hand when you did something with your right hand." That is what you hope for, and that's what you're trying to achieve.
How do you say his name? Hula?
Yes, right. You speak fluently Norwegian,
I'm all set.
but it's actually it's a quite common Norwegian name. But the idea behind the name was he was going to Australia, and they would be a bit embarrassed about his name, and they would, you know, not be sure whether they should pronounce it whole or holy. And so he tries to learn them Norwegian, or he just goes with whole, I think.
He is underneath this kind of gruffness and the drinking and his bad at general bad attitude. He really is a good guy.
What I like about Harry, what makes him a hero in my eyes, is that he is not a morally perfect guy. Often you have heroes that are, you know, they have drinking problems, they may have lots of problems, but morally they're like perfect. But Harry is not. He's not morally perfect. He's a weak man in many ways. He's a very strong man in some ways, but he even his character is kind of weak. But he is a hero because whenever he's done the wrong moral choice, he will always try to make up for it, and he will try to do it right the next time. And I think that is probably why many people can recognize themselves in Harry, that you sometimes you're not the hero in your own movie, and you sort of have to try to cope with that. But if you okay, I was not the hero in my own movie today, but I will try to be tomorrow, and that's Harry's attitude. And I think that makes him sort of an everyday hero, but a hero nonetheless.
The book is The Snowman. I've been speaking with either Joe Nesbo, if you want to use the North American pronunciation, or Jo Nesbø, if you want to use the Norwegian pronunciation, which I probably have hammered severely, but as close as I can come with these lips. And The Snowman by Joe Nesbo is published by Random House of Canada.